Start bei Kirtan. Let me put the Kirtan into perspective here. Transformation is actually a very interesting term. It means to take one thing, do something with it, and transform it, and that same thing turns into something else. For instance, the energy, which we all know, I wanted to speak about it, but I thought so many lectures have given about it, is the energy of lust, which can really motivate a person to spend extra hours traveling, to be very, to be very energetic in order to obtain the object where he thinks he will receive gratification. And if you take now this energy, it's a tremendous energy, and transform it, it turns into love. And it is able to help you to make an extra step forward in the right direction. Or we also speak love of Godhead. Karma can transform into prema. You take the same energy, you do something with it, and then it comes into something else. Another example, which we might also not like to deal with, is if we eat. We take fresh vegetables, which are grown by the energy of sun. We eat them, and then they get transformed, and the vegetables become food for worms. I don't want to go into detail here, but it's the same thing, which becomes switched into something else. So in my lecture today and the other days, I'm interested, what is this force which puts one thing into another state? And once you know it, you become really a spiritual artist, and therefore we call this the art of real transformation. You become actually also almost like a spiritual scientist who applies certain principles to his life, and then not necessarily by his own strengths, but by the inherent strengths which are there in the principles or in the ways what he does, this miraculous transformation takes place. Could you follow what I was saying? Transformation doesn't mean to kick an old habit out and then be gone with it. That is something else. That's renunciation. That is also extremely important. Transformation would mean to take that habit and treat it, bring it in contact with some energy, and then it becomes something that is no longer disturbing, but very inspiring and helpful in spiritual life. This is a difference between transformation and renunciation. Good. So we will now chant. The chanting of Krishna's holy name is the most powerful practice. It is sometimes compared with a yajna, a fire that turns, for instance, wood into something else, ashes. This chanting can, when you are learning to really listen to the sound vibration and you can absorb it, it can transform you. So The problem with the chanting, which as far as I can see it, is that we are bringing our old habits, or let us call them anattas, into the practice. We do the practice with offenses, and then the practice cannot display its power of transformation, because we are covering that power with the clouds of anattas. So in chanting, we need to know how to do it, and then do it and not cover the practice. And I think the most important for those who wish to practice is the art of hearing. But a better word for hearing, which expresses a little bit better what I mean, is listening. I think we have, there's a comics, you know, the husband comes tired at home, and his wife wants to tell him all the news, all the discussions with the neighbor lady, and her new discoveries in the world of recipes and so on, home-related subjects. And the husband just wants some peace, so he takes a newspaper, and his wife talks to him, and he just studies what is of interest to him, maybe sports, maybe, I don't know what is interesting in the newspaper, world news. But he will say to his wife, I hear you, I hear you. And the wife feels encouraged to continue. After the words, she will ask her husband, so what did you think about my conversation with a neighboring lady? Quite interesting, I think. What captured your interest in particular? And he starts to sweat, because he was not listening to his wife. So the chanting is also, it comes, the sound vibration comes, but because we are so distracted often, it doesn't reach our consciousness really. So listening to the sound vibration is quite of a different way. And I remember once I gave a japa workshop, a combined japa workshop with His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj in Philadelphia, America. It was quite a good turnout, and a few people became devotees after this. I mean, they became ready for initiation. They said, we will now chant 16 rounds each day. And Giriraj Maharaj said something which I have not forgotten. Once Prabhupada was asked what to do when you chant. What are we do? So he's what to do? Yeah, no, what to do with your mind when you chant. Now, at some times he had said there's no question of the mind, just you don't need it when you chant. But this time he said, just listen to yourself, chant sincerely. Now, those who have heard, some of you have heard it many times, but how do I listen to myself chant sincerely? Well, it means as I chant, I'm not like the man with the newspaper, I hear you, holy name. But I'm just trying to listen to the sound which comes from me and from the sound which is in the atmosphere. That means when it's Hari, I listen to Hari. When it's Krishna, I'm not thinking of pizza, although it sounds similar, but it's Krishna, you know. And in this way, I'm totally present to the sound vibration. That is what the listening exercise is. You may laugh and you may think it's so basic, Satchidananda Swami. Don't worry, you will get your esoteric knowledge today also, your special surprise. But this is the thing I want to invite you in. And why? The whole idea is we wish that the art of transformation is, we learn it and we apply it and we actually become blissful. Blissful devotees of Krishna. Are you ready? So I will make it, because you have listened so often to the holy name, I will request you to only, we will only chant one name of the holy name. Three times. Then, what do we chant? What? Yes. Sit straight. B. Yeah, I go to C. Sorry. I will chant one time a monosyllable, and you can chant it then three times after me. You will be surprised when you listen that something happens which is almost surprising to you, no? Deep inhale. Continue, but listen, listen. It's only Ram now for you. Good. Deep inhale. You go a little higher. Deep inhale. So what you will do now is to chant and to listen, and not to your own chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, with us devotees who chant so often is that the moment we make this first sound, ha, our mind turns into automatic modus. But this kirtan is different. As we make the sound vibration, we will just pay close attention. That means our consciousness is absolutely open to receive the transcendental vibration. Please chant now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Try your best, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, One more time, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hai Bo, Hai Bo, Hai Bo, Hai Bo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Nita Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
The temptation is Krishna, 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 Krishna. The temptation is to just go on chanting for the rest of the workshop. Please join me. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Askatyade Satanine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Yes, almost very beautiful. My dear devotees, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks of an interesting fire. He says, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam deham ashrita pranapana samayukta pachamyanam chaturvidam. He says, aham vaishvanava vaishvanara bhutva. I'm the fire of digestion in the bodies of all living entities. And what do? I join with the air of life, the prana, outgoing and incoming, to digest the four kinds of foodstuffs. A divine fire inside, which is Vaishvanaraha, Prabhupada gives the word by word translation. My plenary portion is the digesting fire. I am that fire. At this moment, you are experiencing the fire of digestion. And it is stoked. Do you understand this English word? It's a bit stoked. It is nourished, so to say, by the in and outgoing breath. And Krishna, who joins the in and outgoing breath. If you want to read this in your own reading time, it's in chapter 15, verses 14. Without Krishna coming and joining your breath, you would not be able to have an appetite tomorrow for your breakfast, because the food would remain in your stomach and, listen to this, turn after some time into something that is very toxic. The toxins in our body, where so many speak about a detoxification course, you know, it comes from undigested food. In Ayurveda, you know, ama, which is that undigested food, is the cause for all diseases, including mental irritation. That goes into the mind also. Ama, you might have heard, and when you do people do panchakarma treatments and detoxification courses from Dorothea products and so on. They try to get the toxins out because it is dangerous for the health. Now, Krishna also comes in the form of another fire in your mind. And this is called, this will be new for many of you, Sadhana Agni. It's a fire which he feels attracted to come and manifest when he sees your sadhana, your spiritual practice. And this fire, on one level, helps you to digest the incidents in your life, let us call them events and so on, which stay and give you trouble. Human beings have a fire that can digest unfavorable emotions and life events. We don't just have a fire of digestion. And of course, this fire differs from people to people. There are some people who, no matter what happened to them, had childhood traumas. I know one person who, in her vision, saw how her uncle held the gun to his head and shot in the head and died. This is certainly traumatic for a small person, no? But the person is joyful and is not so much disturbed. I have a disciple who worked with the criminal police of Berlin and saw many things which he said, Guru Maharaj, first of all, I'm not allowed to talk about what humans can do to other humans. I mean, what I saw on my job. And second of all, it would not be good for you. Maybe you wouldn't digest it because you're very sensitive. It's so impressive. And this person later suffered a lot in her life from not being able to digest these and other events that went back into her childhood and created something, no? And suffered very, very much emotional, but also physical even thing. So the fire of digestion in the mind, the sadhana agni, it needs to be nourished and needs to be kept alive. Otherwise, it will not digest events, and as a result of it, you become toxic. Have you seen people who are very negative in their life and who seem to hold on to past events which lie really in the past? Have you seen such people? Sometimes, maybe. And that their sadhana agni is very weak, and therefore they couldn't digest it, and therefore this toxic they suffer from brain or character toxification and so on. My dear devotees, it can be that you do a lot of sadhana. We are not speaking now about the amount of sadhana. If you make this relation, that is, of course, naheliegend. It is something which is close by. But we are not speaking about this. We are just speaking how strong the internal fire, the sadhana agni is. It is fueled. Do you understand the word fueled, this inner fire? By good relationships, they always say. I'm talking Ayurvedically. In Krishna consciousness, you would say sadhu sangha with affectionate sadhus who are a little bit more advanced than you. This inner fire is also nourished or fueled by favorable circumstances. You may have seen, sometimes you're so stressed, but when you come in a relaxing atmosphere like here, with nice rivers, mountains, good fresh breezes, that is, you can relax if you don't make stress for yourself. That's the problem with the Bhakti retreat. There's so many interesting things, and you don't want to miss any one of them. And then you are in stress even when you sit next to a river because you make yourself stress. Favorable circumstances can also relate to events which are good and inspiring for you. And the third thing which I would emphasize at the end a little bit more is spiritual practice. This really helps you to digest. So you see, the Ayurvedic approach and also in part the Krishna conscious approach, we are from the same line of thinking, the Vedic approach, is not so much psychotherapy, or as modern devotees say, I have to work through this, you know. And after 1 year you asked, so, my dear Maulwurf, what is the Maulwurf in English? It's this little thing which move under the earth. Mole, my dear Mole Prabhu, have you dug through all the issues in your life? And he says, not yet fully, because it's a can of worms and it may get back to things which you have not digested in your previous life. It's the different road of approach, I'm not saying this is not useful. Sometimes it's useful to look at what you do repeatedly wrong and to stop it. There is no judgment in what I say. But the Vedic approach would be, have good relationships, move into favorable circumstances, and more than anything, have a spiritual practice. No, meditation is very much recommended to just let go of mental attachments. And japa, in our tradition, we are the devotees of the Lord. We would like to meditate about the Lord's name. We don't like so much the Brahma Jyoti, you know, we want Krishna and Krishna Rasa and so on. Yes. So these are three things there. But all this will work only if you have a good intention and a good vision. That you, let me now talk to you only as devotees. You also need to digest some things. ISKCON is a pioneer group. Things have happened in our movement which has surprised some of us, maybe even discouraged some of us, could be, or made us bitter. Because we met, after all, human beings in ISKCON. We didn't yet meet Siddhas or Mahatmas only. And of course, they brought their different things with them. That's normal. But a devotee tries to digest it. He knows I'm poisoning myself if I don't digest these things. I turn bitter, uninspired, and I develop a material vision. Therefore, a devotee has the intention, I want to purify myself. It is most important for me. I will not tolerate that poison comes into my mind. I will burn it. This is the intention and the vision. A devotee, in my humble opinion, needs to also see that his physical and emotional life is in order. Prabhupada once said in Tehran, the human body is like a tree, and we want to obtain the fruit of self-realization from it. So Krishna consciousness does not mean to neglect the body. Just like someone who wants to have a fruit will take care that the tree is not neglected or harmed in any way. No, so for devotees, physical well-being comes when you sleep sufficiently. It means to go at the proper time to bed, and then you can rise at the proper time, because the sleep before midnight is that golden sleep. I'm preaching to myself here a little, that you have a diet, not too much pizza and ice cream. You will notice when you get older. You do exercises. There is nothing better than a good nature walk. And for your emotional well-being, good association, where you can nurture friendships, you have to just be a little disciplined to stop negative self-talk. So many years ago, he wrote in the internet, la 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 la, and so on. That doesn't help anyone. And you should always focus with enthusiasm on the purpose of human life. You have to have a goal. Something in Jungian philosophy, psychology, you would say an imago transformazione, something in which you want to grow. In Krishna consciousness, we want to fulfill the purpose of human life. And you practice good mental behavior, like being compassionate, being grateful, and so on. We talked a little about this. So, and then you need spiritual practice, this will stoke the fire. I hope, who of you speaks English here as a mother tongue? Do we say stoke the fire?
Yes.
We say this. Ah, you
poke it to get the air circulating.
Aha, you do a little, yeah. And then fresh air comes and then the fire catches, yeah. That means stoke. It doesn't mean to put wood on it.
You could also do that.
Yeah, anything to make the fire grow. That is stoke the fire. Yeah. In spiritual practice, you need to see what you do. I always say to our movement, you have to bring your mind to the practice. You cannot allow mindless practice. You have to be there, present, and so on. I think everything else is known, but this is the one thing which I have seen lacking in my life. And when I give retreats, and you know, retreats for me means after my presentations, I meet as many people as possible, and some of them are telling me their challenges and in the hope to find something how to move on. And often I have seen that that if they could just bring their mind into it. I recommend a spiritual practice, of course, regular regular chanting, and do this in an absorbed way. We in Krishna consciousness would say absorbed. Then other people, outsiders, would say in a meditative way. You may have heard we sometimes say japa, meditation. No, so I know devotees don't like meditation. So absorption, that is, does the job as well. So it takes us out of the hamster wheel of our thoughts, where we repeat again and again our thoughts. We cut them if we are absorbed in chanting. We create a new space inside where Krishna can reside. Do you follow? But if you chant and you also go, oh, 1 year ago he wrote on the internet this, ba 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 ba, and I said ba 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 ba, it is the mind is still engaged like that of an ordinary person. No? So you need to break it, and that happens when break the hamster wheel by absorption. You need to regularly study the scriptures. I think we all liked our Keshava Maharaj's lecture because we could see, my God, he really did his work. He studied the Bhagavatam. He knows the verses and so on. And his presentations are really, he has really studied a lot about the scriptures, and he explains them in a relevant way for and so on. And other speakers also do this. So regular study, and then you need to think after it. You need to digest it. Why do we like a speaker like Keshava Maharaj? Because we feel he has digested it. It becomes practical. I can understand what he says, and I know now what to do. Yeah, this is the result of digestion, sadhana agni. And they all say, rising early before the sun peaks over the sky, over the horizon, and will see you. Krishna is, after all, in the sun, sleeping still. So these are things which you could do to increase the sadhana agni. So instead of working through things and maybe at the risk of getting lost or stuck in something, you take a total different approach. You take a, approach to stoke or increase your fire. Kamaniya has helped us here to increase your fire of inner fire, not the fire of digestion, but the inner mental fire, and you are then able to transform unfavorable thought energy into favorable ones. Yes, I think it is very clear. I have something to say to you from in Prabhupada's words. Krishna, can you... Oops. Oh no, now there is a confusion. I have one... I lost it. 3:42, and then I will go to the Ishopanishad. There is a last paragraph of the Bhagavad Gita, which I've made a note here in my notebook. I have a beautiful notebook, which has a wave on it, the wave of enthusiasm. When I'm down and out under the clouds, I look at that wave, and somehow, because I was near to the ocean, it works. So. If by intelligence one engages one's mind in Krishna consciousness, by complete surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then automatically the mind becomes stronger. No, you surrender to Krishna, the mind becomes stronger. And even though the senses are very strong, like serpents, they will be no more effective than serpents with broken fangs. But even though the soul is the master of intelligence and mind, and the senses also, still, unless it is strengthened by association with Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, there's every chance of falling down due to the agitated mind. The Ishopanishad. So, my dear devotees, you need to strengthen your mind. And what it means is that fire in the mind that is able to digest unfavorable things will be stoked, will be increased. The Lord is addressed in one verse of the Ishopanishad as fire, who can burn everything away. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. This is the prayer of a man or a woman on his or her deathbed. O Lord, as powerful as the fire, I pay my obeisances to you. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins so that there will be no hindrance to my progress. And Prabhupada says, by surrendering to the Lord and praying for his causeless mercy, the devotee can progress on the path of complete self-realization. The Lord is addressed here as fire because he can burn anything to ashes, including the sins of the surrendered soul. Yes, so this is something on the Lord being present in two types of fires. One is the fire of digestion, which works at the moment. Therefore, you might feel not so attentive at the moment because all the energy goes into that fire. All your prana is used up for this. And therefore, after prasadam, it is a little difficult to capture a devotee crowd, even though the crowd is willing. But yes, good. So this is, do you remember the name of this fire, the second fire? Sadhana Agni. Do you remember what you can do to increase it? Mindful practice, spiritual practice, yeah. Good association, wonderful. Favorable circumstances to create in your life where you will not always be disturbed. I remember once I was with our Bhurijam Prabhu and some other devotees. We wanted to do a japa anustan, means only holy name, chanting in Jagannath Puri. And we got a house which was just next to the street. For staying for 1 month, the month of Kartik. And we had, the one who gave us the house had not considered that it was Kartik time, where many pilgrims came into the town. So that little dreamy sleep was like a highway, where auto rickshaws were going and and so much exhaustion fumes. And we tried for 1 week, and then I said to Bhurijam Prabhu, "Bhurijam Prabhu, your mind may be very strong, but my is not. I'm disturbed by this. Whoop, 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 whoop," and so on. And then he said, "I'm also like this, so what should we do?" I said, "We must have favorable circumstances for our practice, otherwise we can't focus." So then we went down the road, and we got a wonderful room just near to the ocean. And there was nice breezes. Ocean in Puri is very spiritual. It always cries for Krishna. It is very nice. And there were, you know, it was peaceful. No one was in the night. Maybe some lonely people were walking down the beach who couldn't sleep, but in general it was very peaceful. And we woke up to the dashing of the waves, and the chanting was so good. And we added the Mahaprasad of Jagannath to it. That was really unforgettable experience. We created favorable circumstances for our practice, and it became an unforgettable time which we spent there. So we were not playing the strong mental yogis who can sit on a street corner and just meditate, although there's so much distraction around them. We looked for a favorable circumstance because we wanted to stoke that, give nourishment so that the sadhana agni could burn very nicely. Ultimately, it is Krishna. No? Therefore, the Lord is known as fire. So, let me now secretly look at the time. Do you find this useful?
Yes.
I think it's a new perspective, and so on. Do you have any questions? Because I have a second subject, but I thought to give you a little breathing time. A lot, by the way.
I really don't find it relaxing, at least at this point in my life. But I see the need to find a time where the mind is in a different state, not tension.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to throw it
wonderful point. You find chanting can be, you didn't want to say it like this, but stressful, because you have to focus more than, it's more effort for you than running 10 or 20 kilometers to stay focused. Yeah, we have to see the reason why this is so and then cure the reason. It is because you don't have any taste. You have turned away from Krishna and now we have taste in other things. This is, by the way, it's not just your I don't want to say this is, you don't have any taste, blah, blah, blah. All of us are more or less affected by this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this point. He says, by visiting the Holy Dham, we visit the kingdom of God and become very blissful and nourished. By eating prasadam, we are developing attachment for Krishna and detachment for Maya. And by chanting the holy name, we develop love for Krishna. These are the statements of the scriptures. But they don't happen. Why doesn't this happen? And he said it is because due to our previous offenses, maybe even present offenses, we are a little bit like fever, a patient who has fever, and he does not enjoy delicious sweet rice. Have you been in a situation where you were feverish and then a good meal was given to you and you said, no, thank you. In German language, den flotten Otto. So it's a certain form of disease. I have given a very polite word for it. And then the breakfast cook came with a smile and a very nice plate of good prasadam, you know. Wow, there was porridge on it. There were stewed apples on it. There was something that looked like coconut cream on it. Dates. All my favorite items were there. But I felt, like when I saw it, I went, oh. But I had to, you know, acknowledge that. I said, wonderful, wonderful. I will eat it. I didn't want to say that I had this particular ailment. I thought I will, and I made plans to give it to Jai Gopal, the meal, secretly, so that the cook would be encouraged and continue to cook, you know. My point is, I'm giving you a little pause now, so therefore we add a little humor here. But the point is, the meal is wonderful. But because of an ailment or illness, you cannot appreciate the meal. The same is with our japa. The japa is wonderful. The holy name is wonderful. But our practice is that we are spiritually not yet healthy. And therefore, it doesn't taste. This is the example of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his book Madhurya Kadambini. Perhaps some of you have heard this example. And that's why the processes with the even holy dham and even with prasadam, it may nourish us, but we may not have that spiritually enlivened effect by eating the remnants of Krishna's meals, you know, because of this covering. So we need we need to become a little bit more expert in our sadhana. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defines expertise in sadhana, listen to this, as avoiding offenses. First of all, you need to spot Where do they come up in my life? Where you need to be honest. You need to first of all understand they are sometimes a little bit more subtle than you think they are. For instance, Vaishnava criticism. You may think, no, I'm a generally, I'm a good guy, you know. I may sometimes humorously say something. You have to really understand what it is to become expert, like a professional chanter. You professional is not the word I would like to use here, but an adept chanter who is a little bit, who knows what he's doing. You have to study and see where do they come up, and then do steps to avoid them. And then you will have taste. And when you have taste, isn't it what we have taste in? We do this. We find somehow time for it. And maybe things we don't want to talk about in a public lecture, which we have to, but we somehow find time. This book, wow, we read it. Because what you find, or you have taste maybe to meet with your friends. Let's take something nice which we do in devotional service. You like to spend time with your devotee friends. And although your day may be busy, you somehow find time for it because you have taste in it. But what you have not taste in, you know, I know when you're in a japa, and oh, the day it's 11 o'clock, and you have chanted. If you look at the counting bead, and if the counting beads are, you know, they are not magic. They don't play a trick on you. It shows 12 rounds you have chanted. Okay, 4 more rounds to complete your 16 rounds. But it's 1 o'clock, and it's 3 o'clock. No, what is it? 23. What is it in English? 11 o'clock in the night. So you will think, tomorrow is another day. No, because the taste is not there. But you will see, let's see what is in my mobile telephone. Because my mind is a little active. Let me see this. There may be a video how Will Smith slapped this guy on the cheek. You know, that is quite interesting. You know, I'm just studying human behavior and so on. You know, and it's only 5 minutes. One round is also 2 more minutes, you know, 7 minutes. But the taste is more in this. Maybe. I'm trying to give examples. Please don't hold me up on the examples. I'm trying to explain a principle. So, this is there. It doesn't help to not acknowledge it, but we have to ask, from where does it come? What is the root cause of my lack of taste? And we have to work on that. And then you will get taste. Thank you for your very relevant question. It was really right on the subject. And let me now complete this little presentation. We are talking about the subject matter, the art of transformation, and we look at it from various perspectives. In the past, you have heard lectures about Panchanga Bhakti, these fivefold processes of Bhakti, and how to do them are definitely the most direct approach to transform your unwillingness to serve Krishna or to be Krishna conscious into a great taste in Krishna consciousness. You have heard these lectures multiple times. Some of you are practicing for 25 years and more. So I like to add things which you may have overlooked over the time. And here comes a big one. If you can learn this one, thing, you will most probably experience a rapid, joyful transformation within, I would say, 3 months you can practice. There are two ways in which you can live your life, also your devotional life. One is from the motto of from the perspective, I am in control, or I have my life in my hand. And the other is from the perspective, Krishna is in control. I've spoken about this a few days in a smaller group a few days ago. I would like to share this with a larger group because some devotees said this was really helpful. Let us look at a few situations. Let us say you are successful. What could be a success in your life? Practical success. Maybe you try to get this good job where you only have to work for 4 hours, and then you save time for your devotional life. Or let us move a little bit more into the spiritual life. You have distributed, let us say, an extra amount of transcendental literature. Yeah? Like you have done, maybe, well, Hari Namananda in the old times would sometimes do 800 to 900 books a day. We think it is. Has any one of you tried book distribution, if I may say? Please don't be shy. I've also tried. You also, Madhava? Wonderful. No, why do you laugh? It is. I thought you were only singing, but you were also booked. Wonderful. 800 to 900 books, that's something you must admit. I mean, I tried for 4 years. I was my general thing, but if I could do 20 a day, I was really, really successful for my thing. Only when the borders opened, you know, the Eastern Germans came to West Germany, they wanted to buy things, you know. Finally, they were starved. You can find in a department store in East Germany at that time only one type of toothpaste, if at all, if you were lucky. Now there were 20 Golgate sensitive. You know, they were really interested. And when they met our book distributors, they really got the mercy, you know. So, so let us say you are successful according to your ability or the way you are distributing book. Now think, if you think it was due to me, I got up early, I chanted my good rounds, I ate not too much, I had good interactions, I read Vaisheshika's brilliant book, Our Family Business, propped myself, and I went out and distributed on that particular day 50 of Srila Prabhupada's books. You feel successful. What could be your mental attitude? You could be proud. You could, your ego could increase. Or you could also become complacent. Well, I did 50 today. Tomorrow, I mean, I did 50 today, you know. No need to do so much. Imagine, however, you come from another mindset. Krishna is in control. You would feel gratitude. My God, Lord, you gave me I could distribute 50 books. You feel humility arise in your heart. Alone, I'm not so talented, you know. And you would have faith in Krishna. What a different mindset to the thinking, I'm in control. This was success. Now let us deal with failure. Maybe you gave a real bad kirtan. You know, you were distracted, your voice was really bad, or you had to give a lecture, or you met your neighbor and you had to he asked, what are you? Well, I think you believe in something exalted. And you explained it in such a way that the neighbor went like, this is really crazy, you know. So you have seen a failure in your life. What would be your mindset? Most probably you would be disappointed. Maybe you would be dejected. Maybe you develop an inferiority complex. I have this many times. Because I'm a little older, devotees allow me to sing at these kirtan melas where you have really good kirtaniers, and my voice is really not, somehow it is, I don't know, it's something, yeah. It won't change in this life, so on. And sometimes I went away from kirtans when I thought it's up to me. I was disappointed. I said I should never sing again. I give my slot to others, and I'm here amongst a mosquito, amongst elephants. I developed strong inferiority complex, which had to be treated by Sigmund Freud, you know, if he's still alive. But now think you have a failure and you blew it, whatever it is. That's the American slang word for being a failure. But you think Krishna is in control. So if you fail, you understand, you accept first of all, yeah, my Lord, I tried my best, but my best is sometimes very little. But you are optimistic. My Lord, you can even, I have been in situations where with the same voice, devotees came and said, Maharaj, your kirtan, wow, it is the best kirtan. It's certainly not true, but they experience something nice. So if Krishna wants to make me a failure, let him make me a failure. If he wants so that I learn something, if he wants to make me a success in the kirtan, let him do this. And I'm full of optimism and so on. And I have hopes for the future. With this mindset. Okay, so we dealt with what? Success and failure from two mindsets. One was, I am in control. The other is, Krishna is in control. Now let me deal at the end with challenges which I have. Maybe if I'm an unmarried men, you have a lot of them in London, you know, they are clear, they want to enter the Brahmachari ashram, they have become devotees, and they go, but time is ticking, you know, my marriage life has to happen very soon. If it does not happen very soon, I'm too old to just supply for a family, and so on. Or maybe you have a challenge, you don't really have, after all this time, you have not found your place in Krishna and in service and so on. So let us approach this from the way of life where you think, I'm in control. What will be your mental attitude? You will be most probably anxious, overwhelmed, and totally stressed out. Yes. Confirmed. But if you have a challenge and you live from the way of life, Krishna is in control, you will feel excited. My God, Krishna, he can do everything, hopeful, and all is possible. My dear devotees, the art of transformation means to change we heard from our Keshava Maharaj, your darshan, the way you look at life, from I'm in control to Krishna is in control. I remember once, I listened to a lecture of Keshava Maharaj, and he brought out these points. I'm putting it a little different. And he told of how the devotees were on a morning walk, and they passed this very big building in Calcutta called the Victoria Building. It was built by the Indians to, and they named it after the British Queen Victoria. And when it was, it's very high and impressive. And so Prabhupada goes on a morning walk past the Victoria building, and Brahmananda points to this building, and Prabhupada said, "When I was a young boy, I was climbing up the scaffolding." Do you know what is a scaffold? Das Baugerüst, what is outside. So Brahmananda goes, "Wow," you know, because it's a huge thing, you know, you have to really be like a climber of Mount Everest. You were very brave, Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, "I'm still very brave. Because if I would not be brave, how could I come to your country, wild country, you know, America? How could I come to your country all alone? I needed some brave spirit, you know, brave heart. You know, I need a very brave heart I needed to have." So, yes, why is Prabhupada brave? Because he knows, he expressed it in his arrival prayer, "I'm a puppet in your hands." This means my life is in your hands or in your control. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you wish. My dear devotees, if you can switch your mind into this, Krishna is in control, you can do amazing things without, I mean, you will be excited still, but it won't kill you, the excitement, because you feel you're in the hands of Krishna. Krishna is there, and Krishna is a good God. You know, he doesn't want to let you suffer and so on. And you feel very, very happy in your life. You feel just, "Oh yes, I just want to stay in the flow of Krishna's arrangements," so on. I will end with something Keshava Maharaj said, I know also, Braj means to move. And the residents of Braj are moving always with Krishna's plan. I remember I have a few very, very favorite places in Braj. One is Badarikashrama. If you want to still see the original, you know, four good forests and so on, and these very simple Brijbasis who invite you from the street and serve you rotis, go to Badarikashrama. So once Krishna saw that his father and all the Brijbasis made preparations to go on that tour, pilgrimage tour. They made these thick bagalbandis, you know, thick coats. The Mother Yashoda cooked very thick rotis with, you know, where you have to put a lot of ghee on it, you know. So all this indicated to Krishna the Brijbasis were getting ready to go to a cold place. So he asked his father, "Where are you all planning to go?" And Krishna, Nanda Maharaj said, "In the scriptures it said, everyone within the lifetime should go to Badarikashrama, high up in the Himalayas." And Lala, my dear boy, we are making preparations. It is a little cold there, so some warm cloth is required, and some food is required that keeps us warm. So Krishna, who had appeared and who had manifested, who had requested Braj to descend, felt that all holy places, or felt he had brought all the holy places to Braj. So he said, "Father, there is one Badarikashrama in Vrindavan. It lies north from here." And the Brijbasis, who always move with Krishna's plan, said, "Okay, you bring us there." So Krishna, very small boy, he walked. Sometimes he had to be put on a bullock cart, and he directed the Brijbasis, and they went. But after a long time, Nanda Maharaj said, oh, Lala, that's how he calls him in the Brijbasi lingo, there are no mountains as of yet. How is Pararikashrama here in Braj? We don't see Nara Narayan Rishis. We don't see Alakananda. You have just spoken without any truth. So Krishna went. He knew he had to fulfill now his promise in a visible way. So he called Yogamaya and he said, Yogamaya, you have to now manifest Pararikashrama. And this resplendent lady came from the north and she opened her palm and from her palm manifested a mountainous region where there were two deities of Narayan and actually a third one, Uddhava. And she manifested from her hand also this very amazing kund. It's called Tapakund. All the Brijbasis saw manifested from Yogamaya, Pararikashrama. You can still go to this place. And please don't forget, a little away from the main temple, down the street through which you have come up to the temple, you will find Yogamaya's temple, and you find a very ancient archaeological findings, you know, because this temple is so old. It is because Yogamaya became installed there. And you can see her and you can pray to her to remove the influence of Mahamaya, which is an aspect of her, so that you can be more focused and Krishna conscious. So Braj means moving always with Krishna's plan. The Brijbasis will tell you when you are in Vrindavan, you need to have three understandings in your mind. The first is, Krishna. Everything exists only because of Krishna, and only because of Krishna can you see it. The second is, everything which happens to you in Braj is happening under the control of Krishna. You know everything already. Under the control of Krishna. And the third is, while you're in Braj, everything you do should be for the pleasure of Krishna. Then you can live in Braj, and let us extend this a little bit. Then you can live in Vrindavan consciousness or Krishna consciousness even in the West. Everything is there because Krishna put it there, and you can see everything because Krishna is the strength which has given your senses the strength to see. Everything moves under Krishna's control. Prabhupada said in his final translations in the 10th canto, I think it's 13th chapter, Brahma's episode, that to understand that everything and everyone moves under the control of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness, no? And finally, whatever you do, or as much as possible what you do, should be for the pleasure of Krishna. Then you live a transformed life in a transformed consciousness, and that helps you to move out of material consciousness, where you think I'm in control. It helps you to move out of pride, anxiety, and sometimes dejection when things don't work, into an area of gratitude towards Krishna, hopefulness, and so on. Finished for today. This is, I think, a very nice, because the transformation, Prabhupada says, it's the purification of the heart. There is one reference in the second canto where he says it's purification of the heart into the mood of being a servant of Krishna. That that Krishna-centered life, that is where we need to come to. So today we spoke about two things. In case you forget, which you will do, but it's sometimes easy. We spoke about the inner fire, sadhana agni, as a fire that can burn everything. This fire is divinely inspired because we have heard the Lord is compared to a fire who burns everything to ashes. And we spoke about changing the vision from I'm in control to Krishna is in control. Mm-hmm. These are two things you might like to mind to be mindful of in your daily practice, and then do this. Okay. So we are done, as I was saying. Do you wish to ask any questions? Yes, Radha Kripa. We have a microphone for you, I think, or yes, it is there.
So you said that we don't have taste due to the offenses mostly, and the offenses to the devotees are also very, we can easily do them and can be subtle. And this morning, Keshava Maharaj, he said that that's why Dhritarashtra couldn't go back to Krishna, because he still had enmity towards
the Pandavas. Yeah.
But then also Maharaj, at least these were his words, I really know that he said he had bad feelings. And then I was thinking, in my case, like sometimes we get hurt by the devotees simply because they are humans, we are humans, so there is this hurt. And then we, even after forgiving or even after saying, it just happened, but this feeling stays. So is that a big issue, or how to deal with that, not to harm with that?
I heard a few times, and I tend to believe it's true, that in Kali Yuga you get the reactions for your activities, but not so much for your thoughts. Now, we all know that activities come from thoughts. I notice, for instance, if I have in my thoughts a disparaging thought about someone, where pull him down, or where I say, this was not good, you know. I usually say something. At least when the day is over, I may say something to Gaur Krishna, which no one hears, you know. But it comes out. I have noted that in my life. But I think, therefore, we should do a little mental hygiene. We should take care of the mind, because if you have something for a long time in your mind, it will come out. Latest under hypnosis. Who gets hypnosis? I know, not many go to, I'm just saying something to say from the mind, something happens in the words or in the so on. So I think if you just feel, oh my God, I have these feelings, I was hurt in the past, maybe you were repeatedly having a similar situation with the person, I think if you honestly don't want that, if you say it's not good, and you may have to have some mental construction, it's because the person has his own darshan on the world, his own perspective on the world, and what you see in one way, he sees in another way. I had this, I was sitting on the bench today, and one Swiss person came by, and I, you know, a preacher is always a preacher, so I spoke, I said, isn't it if we go into the temple of nature, we can see God, we can feel God. I said something very general. So this person came by, he looked at me, and there was anger in his eyes. And I thought, but this is such a nice statement. Let me repeat it. Maybe he has not understood me. So I said, see, if we want to, there's a statement, when we want to experience God, go into the temple of the nature. Then he exploded. True humility, he said, is not to be want to become God. I couldn't relate what I said to what he said. But he had gone, he had seen me, and he must have thought I'm a Mayavadi. Because most people who come from India or dressed in an Indian way think we must become one with the Brahman. But he had, this was his program. He thought, and then he said, even the Buddhists, you know, they want to become humble. Then I said, wonderful what you said. I also believe in humility and not becoming God. I said something else. I didn't say, if you want to be God, go into the temple of nature. I said, if you want to meet the Lord, meet him there. The mountains are manifested from him. You know, Vishvarupa, universal form talk, which many people can relate to today. And he said, ah, and felt very embarrassed by his anger. So everyone is like this. We all come with our programs. We hear something, but our mind translates it into our worldview, and so on. It is. We have a word for this: Atmavan Manyate Jagat. I see the universe as I think. No. So yes, there is, with such people, there's bound to be conflict. You know, we are like this. So. I once asked a God brother of mine about what he does. I will not say his name because it was God brother talk. It was many years ago, and I said, I don't know. In ISKCON, there are so many disappointing things happening. It sometimes gets under my skin. How do you deal with all this negativity? I knew this God brother of mine was on the GBC board. And he said something which I have always applied. He said, I see I see all this as data. Like in a computer, you type something and then zoom, 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 it makes something. So we hear something and it makes zoom, 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 according to our past experiences, our past disappointments and so on. And we can't do anything. We are bound like this. So when this man was getting down on me and said, you are not humble, you want to be God, I thought, well, we have a constant fight against these Mayavadis. I really don't want to be God. I mean, at least not to my knowledge, you know. But then I understood it's a program which goes there. It makes him say it. And then I put on my best smile and said, I didn't, I meant this. You know, I said my sentence the third time. And then he said, wow. That's wonderful, he said. I agree. So I think if you want to do this, Radha Kripa, do you have a feeling you are, after all, from the southern part of Europe, where feelings are very strong? When you speak, we hear, see you really in touch with your feelings, and so on. It's clear that a person like you who's more on the feeling side of things, then just say it's harmful for me, and it doesn't help the other person also. And I think Krishna will forgive you. I can't imagine that for a devotee who doesn't commit in of something like this, something small, where heat where it doesn't come out of the eyes, that there is no intention to do harm. And for an offense to be a real, you know, dripping offense, you know, which is full of life and juice, you know, for an offense to be like this, there must be an intention. But here's no intention. In fact, it's against your intention. It's just a normal program of a human being. I was hurt in the past. I grabbed into the fire. Now I'm a little bit shy. It's a normal reaction. Dobro. Good. Dobro is Serbian. Anyone else, or should we close the session here? Let me see. I see Gorahari's hand. Is it true? Yes. Please let us give a microphone to Gorahari. It will be the last question and answer. I want to end a little earlier, as always. Yes, Gorahari.
I was just wondering, we are all in our own world, and we have desires, we have services, we want to do things like and like that, we are investing a lot of our energy trying to plan. How do you make the switch of not being in this mood of controller, but more dependent? What makes the switch? How do we turn? Because it's a very powerful drive, and it sounds very paradoxical. If you can help the switch.
I think we need to know more about Krishna. How wonderful he is. How he thinks. How he looks. How he... And so on. And then he becomes more of a reality. He becomes a close God. And is not a distant God for us. You know, we need to hear a little. And something which is very, very helpful is Sangha, having association with devotees who have this. But another way is to take a risk in preaching, to do something out of your comfort zone, willingly. I mean, not just something out of your comfort zone, not something in service, I meant. Like you are a preacher, there are many places where you have never gone. There are many people you have never contacted, and so on. If you stay with the old people, but why not go to try to make a university program, and so on? Because when you do a risk, try new horizons, so to say. There's someone saying ships are safest in the harbor, but that's not what they were made for. So we human beings feel safest in our comfort zone, you know, where we know our ways. But we are not dead yet, you know. We can go and go purposefully with Krishna satisfaction in the mind. Also, what devotees do, what wise men do, according to Chanakya Pandit, they think about their own mortality, that they will die one day. And with this, they are ready to do that, what, you know, I always say, what is the one thing, Satchinandan Swami, or the two things, that would improve your life so much, but you're not yet doing it? And I find, for instance, I find answers to this question in relationship to my service, where I could serve the devotees better, and and in a relationship to my own personal sadhana. There are things which I know would be good to now do. And I'm telling, but when I ask the same question, Satchinanda Swami, also you will die. Oops, really? Yeah, according to statistics, I should die in 18 years. That's when you are my age, 60, approaching 70. Then I have 18 years, according to statistics, of a modern, well-lived, well-nourished person. I have eaten all these good things in my life. Not very regularly, though, but... so on. So it's 18 days, if every... 18 years. If 18 days, something else. If everything goes well for me. That's a hopeful calculation. So I think, okay, 18 years, my God, 18 years, that's nothing. 18 years, that goes whoop. Okay, maybe I should now accelerate a little bit and do the things, be a little bit more forthcoming. I still want to, in this life, a stadium with 90,000 people chanting. This is my dream, and I better get active now. It's a big goal, you know. 19,000 people chanting. What would be the atmosphere? Wow, I think Krishna would feel like, oh, that they are trying to chant my name. So many, he would be so pleased. Prabhupada would be so pleased. And then everyone who leaves that stadium gets a Bhagavad Gita. Wow, you know, this is a good dream. You know, I have to do now something else than what I do, because what I do at the moment is not for 80,000 or 90,000 people in the Wembley Stadium. I've learned Wembley Stadium. That's my idea. And as far as my spiritual life, I want to think of Krishna more. So I have to start now. What do I do to think of Krishna more? So that death accelerates everything. The thought of death, I'm sorry, the thought of death, not death itself. So good. These are the few things. Sangha, I had something else. It's a risk which you take, and then think that, yes, one day this is all over. I will tell you something. You may not like it, but you may like it very much. Steve Jobs, he is the inventor of many of your mobile telephones, so you have a close relationship already with him. He is just in your pocket, you know. He said in a famous speech in the Stanford University, which I have secretly watched, every day when I wake up, I look into the mirror and ask myself, if today is my final day, would I be doing what I do today? And when the answer is no, I wouldn't do that if this is my final day, for too many long days in a row, then I know that I need to change something. It's a nice meditation. Get in the mirror, you know, don't get stuck up by the increasing amount of wrinkles. But ask yourself, if this would be your last day, would you do the things which you do? And if it's too many times no, then change, you know. Good, my dear devotees. I will end here. I will request you just let us sit down. 5 minutes chanting, it completes everything very nicely. And it helps that things are staying with us. Only 5 minutes. it? What is it? C? Krishna, 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 Krishna. So, again, I would request all of you to now collect the mind, the thoughts. We heard so many things. Now we withdraw to just hearing the holy name and chanting, no? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Please excuse me that I interrupt you, but please, as you chant, listen to every syllable of the holy name. That means be present to the holy name. Just be present as if he is a person and you give him your full attention, because he is a person. Please, again, sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hai Bo!
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Hai Bo!
Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radha. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Sri Radhe.
Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Go!
Hare Krishna.